DW Africa Link.
South Africa has been very vocal in its support for Palestinian people as Israel continues military action in Gaza against Hamas, which is considered a terrorist group by many countries, including the US and Germany. South Africa's African National Congress, or ANC, has publicly condemned human rights violations in Gaza and has taken Israel to the International Court of Justice, ICJ, accusing it of genocide. But because of the ANC's underwhelming performance during national elections in May, South Africa will now have a government of national unity with the main opposition party, Democratic Alliance, along with two smaller opposition parties. So, how will this alliance influence South Africa's position on Israel and its war against Hamas in Gaza? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter from Africa and beyond.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Israel went to war with Hamas, considered a terrorist group by many countries, after it launched an attack on Israel, killing 1,200 people and kidnapping hundreds more in October 2023. The ensuing military action has killed more than 37,000 Palestinians, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. And South Africa has been leading the charge against Israel's response to the assault. But the ANC government lost its parliamentary majority in elections in May and will have to work with other opposition parties, mainly the Democratic Alliance, or DA. An alliance between the DA and the ANC is unprecedented, as the two parties have been rivals. Let's get more on this with DW correspondent Tuzo Kumalo in Johannesburg, South Africa. Also joining me is Rowan Polovin of the South African Zionist Federation. Let me start with you, Tuzo. From your reporting on the South Africa elections, which happened the 29th of May, 2024, what kind of impact did the ANC's position on Israel have on voters in May's elections? Did it have any impact at all, you think?
When South Africa announced that it is taking Israel to the International Court, there was a lot of support on the ground. We had organizations like the unions, your COSATU, that is in partnership with the ANC, supporting that, and even the general NGO at large supporting that. But the question is, did that get converted into votes? And the answer, according to my own view, is no, because South Africa did not, the ANC did not do well after that in terms of the elections. And for simple reasons that although it is an important issue to a lot of South Africans, they want food on the table. They want the government to protect them from the criminals that are attacking them in their homes every day.
Right, right. Quickly also on this, Tuzo, what has been the ANC government's position on the conflict in Gaza? For those listening that want to know, do they have a position? What is it?
I'll just read you a recent statement that the ANC did on the 7th of February, just a bit of a paragraph. It says, the African National Congress, ANC, stands resolute in solidarity with the Palestinian people, reaffirming its unwavering commitment to their just struggle for freedom, self-determination, and dignity, in line with its historic mission to combat oppression and injustice. The ANC views the Palestinian cause as central to the broader struggle for human rights and global issue. So you can tell from what the ANC is saying there that they are looking into their own history. ANC, South Africa is fresh from oppression. So when they look at what is happening in Palestine, they see themselves under the apartheid regime. That's why you hear them using the words like apartheid Israel and all those things. Whether that is correct is something else. But they see themselves in the mirror as people that were oppressed, and they think Palestinians are put in that same. This is why they talk about human rights, they talk about global justice, because it is where the South Africa is immediately coming from now. So when they look at Palestine, their position is Israel should not be in Palestine. Israel should not be occupying Palestine. It should be out and leave Palestinians to live their life. So that is always the position that they maintained.
Right, right. And one of the voices and faces that has been pushing this, or you know, the ANC's agenda, has been Minister of International Relations Naledi Pandor. Rowan Pollovan, you recently said this about Naledi Pandor. You said, and I quote, or part of a rather larger quote, is that Minister Pandor has exhibited an extreme level of hostility towards Israel, allowing her obsession with the Jewish state to overshadow all other foreign policy matters. What is the main issue you have with the ANC's position on Israel's response to Hamas's terrorist attack on October the 7th?
So, Eddie, it seems that the ANC government has taken a one-sided partisan approach to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And in the current situation, the ANC government has singularly supported the Hamas terrorist entity in its genocidal campaign against Israel and the Jewish people. It has not taken any position of sympathy or understanding towards Israelis, towards innocent people who have suffered under that terrible attack. Has not, you know, in any way attempted to find any way of peace, any form of mediation between Israel and the Palestinians, but it has simply taken a one-sided hostile approach. And that, we believe, is not a pragmatic or practical way to resolve this conflict. And we believe that South Africa ought to use its international standing to be a mediator, to be a peacemaker, and not to be a partisan player in this conflict. We believe that the South African government, and we believe this is relevant for many governments in Africa and around the world, should adopt what I would call a dehyphenated approach to the Israeli-Palestinian issue. And what I mean by that is they ought to separate their relations between Israel and the Palestinians into two distinct categories. Israel has enormous things to offer South Africa and the African continent. As you know, Israel is the world leader in agriculture, water technology, cybersecurity, and so many other areas. And to take such a hostile approach to Israel ultimately has an effect on ordinary South Africans who are now not able to benefit from what Israel has to offer. And we believe that the government ought to separate that and to say, okay, fine, we have the government of South Africa has historical relations with the Palestinians, we understand that, but that should not negatively impact South Africa's ability to benefit and work with Israel, who, as I said, is the only democracy in the Middle East and has a lot to offer South Africa and the African continent.
Okay, so here's what I want to find out from you. South Africa's support for Palestinians did not start after October 7th. It's been there since the era of Nelson Mandela, right? We're talking about 30 years plus. So what do you think has changed this time around, or has anything changed from the way they used to support Palestinians?
Well, firstly, Nelson Mandela actually supported Israel's right to exist in secure borders, and he said as much. He visited Israel, he met with Israelis, he understood that there are two sides to this conflict, and he understood that there would be a historical way to make peace. And that incredible Madiba magic has completely been lost with the current dispensation. Now we just see partisanship, we see an ideological hatred for Israel stemming from the ANC. We see no attempt to find any way to work with them. We also see the ANC government approaching and having very warm relations with authoritarian states in the Middle East and in the Asia and other places. It is very unfortunate that the ANC has had this very, very peculiar obsession with Israel for many, many years.
And why do you call it that obsession?
Because it seems that this particular focus on Israel happens at the expense of South Africa's relations with other countries. It is interesting that South Africa seems to continuously and singularly deal with this issue. What Tussaud mentioned earlier, the South Africa taking Israel to the International Court of Justice, it's a very strange thing for South Africa to do in order to delegitimize Israel's right of self-defense, which Israel has a right under international law to defend itself from a hostile entity tried to commit genocide against its citizens. And South Africa has tried very, very hard, almost beyond any other conflict, beyond any other issue, to support Hamas, to prevent the Israel's military campaign, which is not targeted at civilians, it is targeted at Hamas. And South Africa seems to just continuously stand up for a proxy force of its allies, as opposed to standing for peace.
Members of the South African government have been saying they oppose this way of saying it or of seeing it. They would argue that they are basically standing for human rights. Is that right, Tuzo? That's what the government says its position is.
That's really the stance from the South African government, that they're talking about issues of justice and human rights. I think when you look at the issue of what's happening now between Israel and Hamas, they are, of course, bilateral relation issues, but they are issues of the things that are happening on the ground. South Africa is looking mainly at the killings that are happening currently, the people that are being moved from one place to the other. And for them, it is an issue of human rights. And of course, even when you listen to Naledi Pandor speaking, I had there our interview talking about what she has said. As far as South Africa is concerned, they've called for the those in hostage to be released. They've not openly said they support what Hamas did. In fact, as far as I remember, they've said they condemned what happened. But unfortunately, currently, there is a situation that they are focusing on. And of course, that view from other people, it seems they are ignoring the reality that it is Hamas who started this thing that's happening. So for them, it's more about, let's protect the people that are being killed at the moment. Let's make sure the war ends according to the arguments that they've put at the at course, so that at least by the end of the day, there is peace. And for just to round it up, they also support a two-state solution to the whole conflict.
Right. We're discussing this because we want to see the future of South Africa's position on all of this. For the first time in, 30 years, South Africa has a coalition government, right? And the DA, Democratic Alliance Party, is going to be involved in that. Tuzo, I would want your take on this. What do we know about the DA and how it's aligned itself, you know, regarding Israel's situation in Gaza and the West Bank? What is the DA's position?
As far as the two sides are concerned, to me, of course, there's this alignment, DA more aligned to Israel and South Africa, more pro-Palestine. But if you look at what is happening, the DA has said it is not promoting one side to destroy the other. It wants a common solution. It wants common sense to prevail. In one sense, it's saying that, no, Israel should not be killing people in Gaza. And it was wrong for Hamas to go into Israel and kill people there. So there is that understanding also that the DA leader has said it plainly, that they don't support any of the sides to be oppressed or to be killed by one side, which of course is what, in my understanding, the ANC is saying, that there should be peace and the war must end and the two states should stand alongside, independent, and having good relations between each other.
Right. Rowan, I'm not sure what your thought is on this, because you said that a government of national unity offers chance for foreign policy shift. What kind of shift are you expecting, and can the DA influence South Africa's foreign policy shift on Israel?
Sure. So first of all, I just want to say that if the ANC government truly wanted peace, they would call for Hamas's surrender and for the unconditional release of hostages if they were truly interested in peace and protecting Palestinian civilians. I do think that this new government of national unity certainly poses an opportunity for South Africa to realign its foreign policy away from anti-democratic and authoritarian states and towards democratic nations. And I think this poses an opportunity for South Africa to work more closely with the West, with the United States and others, to promote the values of democracy and transparency and openness. And Israel is, of course, one component to that, but I think it's a much broader opportunity for South Africa to improve its economic standing, its political standing, to really boost what was, you know, for missed opportunity for many, many years in this country, where we've just had this kind of stagnation, and we've had this, you know, these corruption, these domestic issues. I really hope that this new government will have a better approach, a more pragmatic approach.
Right. And particularly with the DA, because that won the second highest number of votes, how could they influence this policy shift, in your opinion?
I think the DA certainly seems to have a more pragmatic approach in terms of foreign policy. They certainly see the need for South Africa to work with other democracies around the world to promote these values. And they believe, you know, in more of a free market. They promote, you know, more freedoms and sovereignty. And I think they can certainly have an impact in just shifting South Africa to allow us to benefit from countries like Israel, you know, in terms of our water crisis that we're suffering in South Africa, our electricity crisis, areas where Israel has solved its own problems and can provide opportunities, can provide employment, can provide assistance. I really hope that the DA will be able to influence our foreign policy to the benefit of ordinary South Africans.
Right. How much support does the DA enjoy from the Jewish community in South Africa, you think?
So I don't have an exact answer for you. I do think there certainly is fairly wide support for the DA and parties who have these kinds of policies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Jewish community supports many parties, but we support parties that have a practical, pragmatic view on domestically and internationally. We certainly, you know, want our country to prosper. We want South Africa to succeed. We've invested so much in this country, and we really hope that there is a better future for this country, and we want to play a positive role in that.
Right. Tuzo, how have South Africans responded to the government of national unity and the fact that the Democratic Alliance is part of it?
If you speak to a lot of South Africans, they don't feel very comfortable with that coalition or that coming closer together of ANC, because they are saying their policies are different. And of course, going back to the background again, a lot of people here are still associating DA with the colonial powers, with the past. So it's hard for them to accept now that DA can come together and have their interests at heart. So a number of South Africans, the majority of them, they feel this coalition is not right. But at the same time, people are now feeling the coalition is the best thing because of where they are coming from. In the last 30 years, ANC has not treated them well, has not provided things. There's been corruption. There's been all kind of things that they think DA is a bit more principled to take care of that. Like Ron was saying, in terms of their policies are fighting things that South Africans are saying, maybe with DA coming together with the ANC, we could have a change of direction in terms of job creation, in terms of growing the economy, ending corruption, which is of course leading to services not being delivered to South Africans. So there is that mix, but the majority of them are accepting now because they believe the ANC has not been able to drive the country to where they expected it to be.
I'm going to take final words from you, Rowan, to wrap this up.
Well, I think that, like I said, there is a significant opportunity for this government of national unity to improve our domestic and our international situation. I'm very optimistic. I hope that sense and rationality and pragmatism will prevail. And I hope that South Africa will also improve its relations with Israel going forward.
Tuzo?
By the end of the day, I think if this coalition sticks together, the differences between these two will help them to take some kind of neutral ground, to avoid these steps that makes other people see South Africa or the ANC as being against Israel or being insensitive to what happened to Israel. And at the same time, DA bringing in this other view, I'm hoping there will be some middle ground, because like I said, they are not different. They all condemn the killings. They all want peace. They all want a two-state solution. And hence, I think by the end of the day, it is a coalition that could also help in that regard.
DW correspondent Tuzo Kumalo in Johannesburg, South Africa, and Rowan Polovin of the South African Zionist Federation. Thank you guys very much for your insights.
Abuja, Nairobi, Harare. Africa Links correspondents bring African stories to you.
Coalition governments are not new to African governments, and it is certainly not new to Kenya, which currently has a coalition government in place, led by President William Ruto. To tell us more about how that's going, let me introduce Andrew Wasike, my colleague and DW correspondent in Nairobi, Kenya. First, tell us, Andrew, we know, of course, Kenya has a coalition government. Which parties are in President Ruto's Kwanza Coalition.
The current Kenya Kwanza Coalition in Kenya is led by President William Ruto. That is the president. And I would say the deputy of this coalition is Musalia Mudavadi from the Amani National Congress Party, that is ANC, because he serves as he serves two top positions. That's the Prime Cabinet Secretary and also the Foreign Affairs Minister. Back to your question, the coalition includes several key parties, that is United Democratic Alliance, UDA, Amani National Congress, from Musalia Mudavadi, the Foreign Affairs Minister, Ford Kenya, Chama cha Kazi, among other parties.
This is not the first time Kenya is dealing with a coalition government. What's the deeper background with coalition governments in Kenya?
Interesting that you asked that, because Kenya has a history of coalition government. So one of the most notable was the Grand Coalition Government formed in 2008. Remember, this was after the disputed presidential election. So remember, just after the election in 2007, there was post-election violence and we lost over 1,000 people across the nation. This was due to the violence, and this is why the coalition came. So the deeper issue with coalition governments, if you ask me, comes from the need to balance power. Having various political factions means it's sort of a balancing act. You have to ensure that everybody gets what they want, and this can be challenging. And additionally, I would say coalition governments that I have witnessed here in Kenya, they tend to have a fragile political environment, you know, because there are usually disagreements, because most of these coalition governments do come from the opposition. So they will not always align with what the ruling party wants. So there are a lot of disagreements and power struggles. Power struggles are what I was telling you about. You want this position. I want to be the foreign minister. I want to be this.
In Kenya's, Kenya, you know, as we're saying, this is not the first time. So Kenya, I would say, is quite experienced with forming coalition governments. What can you tell us about how it's been in terms of, do they actually decide and do things together? How successful have they been at, you know, there's been challenges, but overall, have they managed to put differences aside and focus on a goal to achieve it?
Oh, Eddie. So let me tell you, this government, the way I've seen from covering East Africa since almost 2013, the way I have seen this government work, they are like a household. You know, a household where you've got a brother, you've got a sister, you've got a mother and a father. So they always, always do consult each other. So they do have, especially here in Kenya and with the current government, they do have regular meetings at State House, and most of them are behind closed doors. And also they go for retreats and have consultative forums around, just in hotels and all that. And these are usually, the media is usually locked out of this events, but normally they are very, very essential, because they use these events to iron out those differences. You know, that squabble that you have with somebody, you know, in the family, somebody took your cup, you are like, okay, maybe you can have my cup, I don't need it. So they usually use these events to iron out differences, plan out strategies, and also ensure that everybody in the coalition operates.
Would you rather have a coalition government, you as Andrew Wasike, or would you rather have one party dominated government making all the decisions?
As Andrew Wasike, I would say I would prefer a one party dominated government, not a coalition government. I know you might ask, okay, you have seen two coalition governments working really well and all that, but no, I have an explanation to this. So this is because I would want to think, and I saw Ruto and Uhuru leading for 10 years. So I think having a one party dominated government, a single party government, can be more cohesive and sort of decisive, because you don't have all these other parties with other agendas that you also need to fulfill as the leader of the coalition. Yes, I would want to think that such government, the one-party dominated government, eliminates constant need for negotiation and compromise, I mean, that comes with coalition governments. This is what I was telling you, having all those differences. And my key issues, why I came to decide this, is because it avoids all the differences in manifestos. Because in Kenya, you have to give the electorate, me, Andrew Waseke, you have to give me your manifesto before I vote for you. So I think having a one-party dominated government avoids all the arguments and unnecessary fights. However, it is still important that such a government still upholds democratic principles, which has been the issue with previous governments we have had this one-party dominated governments, and they are not perfect because they don't uphold democratic principles. They infringe on the rights of expression. We have had that in Kenya. They infringe on the right to protest, and sometimes they also infringe on the rights of freedom of speech. You cannot just speak freely. So I still am for the one-party dominated government, but I think they have to uphold democratic principles.
And that's it from this edition of Africa Link. Don't forget, the conversation continues on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was produced by Kai Nebe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.